may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. Yep. Goodness. So I had a dad joke to tell you this morning, but I forgot it before I got home last night. Huh? Yeah. I can remember some of that, but I don't remember. I don't hold jokes, so that's why I find jokes funny over and over. You can tell me the same joke 10 times as long as there's a couple weeks between. I think it's a new joke. Praise God. Oh, but there's things I do remember, and unfortunately, those aren't always the good things that I should remember. So, one thing I've learned in 22 years is usually when I'm dealing with something, there's others dealing with something. The same thing. They have the same opportunities. And whether I pass or failed, and I have failed quite a few times, and if you have never failed, you are blind. We all fall short of the glory of God. And one of the things that I have learned over the years and have tried to walk in, and personally I've gotten a lot better. But there's a book by John Bevere called The Bait of Satan. Who all's read that? I know there's a few of you. Well, I highly recommend that book because it's really good. Because he's talking about offense. One of the hardest things in us is to forget offenses. You will always remember it. I'm sorry. You have a memory, but you have to choose to forgive it. And so one of the things recently I had to come to grips with was letting some offense go. Pastor, you know, a lot of people think you get up here that when you hit your big time, that you walk on water, that you're never offended. I have to be honest with you, rarely am I offended for my sake. You can call me a stupid jarhead. You can call me a crayon eater. You can call me a moron and a few other names if you'd like. It usually just bounces off. I've had people lie about me to my face to the other person, and I'm like, how dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen? But God didn't let me take that offense. However, you really want to offend me? Go after a family member. Go after one of my kids or my wife. And it wasn't Waylon. One of the other. No, not Willie. Merle Haggard. Now you've on the fight inside of me. You have found something that angers me. And understand something. I know I have been called violent. Okay? I know that. There's people that they don't like me because I talk violence. I can imagine what they thought of the preachers who were talking during 1775, 76, 77. I know of one preacher that got up in the pulpit in his robe, and he got up and preached a message, and then after he said, he dropped his robe and he was wearing a military uniform and said, if you want freedom, you got to fight, basically. And he left the comfort of his pulpit. But one of the things I've had to learn is I can't deal with that way all the time. There may come a time and day, but I can't do that. It is not justified by God. God doesn't tell me to reach out and strike somebody. As much as I'd like to choke them within an inch of their life, I can't do that. And so one of the hardest things for me, and I know other family members in the same boat, because they're like me, is they take offense for somebody else's sake. You ever done that? Somebody says something about your wife, your kids. I don't care if my kids are morons. We're all morons. And according to Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does. And we've all done moronic things. And so what I've learned is, for me, the hardest thing is when somebody harms a loved one. They talk about it. They start mistreating them. I take offense at it. And I want to bring the scales into balance. And I've been reminded, I am not allowed to do that. And so I've had to learn, I can't take, and I'm still learning, I'm not saying I'm through it all the way. Okay? I'm not saying that I've come through the valley of the shadow of offense. I'm telling you, I've had lots of people talk about, people talk straight to my feet, my face about things, not realizing what they're doing. What they just said was extremely offensive. And it, had I not been saved, we might be having a different conversation. Usually me on this side of the bars. But I'm really not a violent person until I'm pushed. I've never lashed out until I was struck. And once I got over that and grew the discipline, it got harder when, you know, people talk about my kids. There's been people in here talk about my kids. Understand something. I would die for them first. God gave me them first. God gave me my family first. But I love you too, and I would die for you if I had to. My goal is to teach you so I don't have to die for you. So when I got that and I started getting a revelation, I gotta quit grabbing hold of these offenses, Lord. And I've struggled. I've struggled because people are stupid. That's just it. We're all stupid, but there are some people that they're a whole nother degree. They're operating on a whole new level. And I struggle. It's kind of like overloading a truck with an automatic transmission and you're not in the right gear. It's going to slip. And there's really no way to grab another gear. Or you overload, you're just overloaded and you just start slipping because you're not thinking. But understand something, and I'm telling you this because the devil is on a rampage right now. I can't look at a news report that's not pointing out the sickness of Joe Biden. The corruption of possibly Trump. Understand something. Everybody's got something in your past that somebody's going to think is crooked. That's all there is to it. And you say, well, ain't nothing in my past. Do you really want to wage that bet? Because there's coming a day when everything we've had secret is going to be made known to every man. So feel free to put that under the blood and realize you are not walking on water. And so I struggled with that. It didn't matter who it was. It's like, that's my family member. The one person in my life who was not a possible enemy combatant that I had already determined I was going to make disappear. Let's put it that way. Hurt my sister. See, our hearts is where all sin starts from. And when we allow what hurt happened to somebody else, it was all her decisions. She made her own decisions and ended up in that. But me being the big brother didn't look at it quite like that at that point. I looked at it as I'm her protector. And so I took that offense, and it hurt me for a while. And I realized any time in my past, I've taken an offense on things that I didn't realize I had taken offense on. And now I'm seeing the devil that where I'm not necessarily unoffendable. We're all offendable. But I don't pay attention to so much as when people start talking bad about me. And so I've had to learn that. But my hardest thing is, again, my family. I want to bring justice and I can't. And I realize I have to turn them over to God. Jesus was telling us in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. You're going to get offended. Some of you are offended at me right now. Because I said you can be offensive. You're offended at me because I said I just recently have struggled with it. You should be perfect. Absolutely not. If I'm perfect, why am I still here? Because I'm not. That no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It's that last part. This is the hard part. Jesus also taught us to pray for those who spitefully use us. People who are intending, they know exactly, they aren't stupid. They know what they're doing, and they are manipulating it. And guess where it comes from, folks? It's unforgiveness at an offense. The word offense in the New Testament is the Greek word scandalon. It means a trap. And, you know, anybody who's ever hunted with, you know, or trapped, or, you know, you've ever had to trap anything, we're going to go with the spring traps first, the leg traps. They are set usually in a path where that animal walks. And they catch it by the leg and they hold it until something can come along and kill it. Life traps. Oh, have a heart. There's even a trap called have a heart. You set this box trap up and you catch things. But you have to bait it. There ain't no animal in its right mind going to go into a cage unless you bait it with something it wants. I had to start catching some raccoons. We had a bad run of raccoons. All my neighbors, like, this is ridiculous. He says, I can sit here and watch them walk across the field to my house. And I had one. I have no idea to this day where this coon went or if he's still around even. But I had this, I had it baited. I had some cat food and a little can in there and I had the thing anchored down. And I came in and the trap wasn't set off. The bait wasn't in it. Can was over there. What's going on? And then I found the other one. And it was all twisted and thrown all over the place. The chain had been ripped in half. Not the anchor pulled out of the ground. The chain was broke. I think I had Mighty Coon on that in that trap because he wreaked havoc on that. And I'm guessing it was a big boar. It could have been a big sow. I don't know. But it got the food out. The one I'd caught the week before was a young one. It didn't know anything about traps. This one evidently did because somebody probably trapped it, took it to somebody else's house, and dropped it off, which FYI is illegal. But anyhow, that is how we are. We're either doing our normal life's business and something comes up and trips us up. They got conibear traps that people use to catch groundhogs. I should say exterminate groundhogs because they are not there to just catch them and release them. And they're usually set over their holes so that when they come back up out of there, they got them by the head. Sometimes traps are set in your everyday life. You may not even be looking for it. Then other times, oh, it can't be wrong. I smell tuna. That's got to be good for me, right? I like tuna. I got to get, oh, there it is. I found it. Why is it in this strange shaped box? I don't know. I don't care because I want the tuna. You're trapped. You're caught because you went looking for it. Don't think just because you've found something that should be good that it's actually all God. The devil, the Bible says the devil comes as an angel of light. Oh, here I am. Come see me. Come to me. And then you get there and it's too late. It's kind of like the angel on Indiana Jones and the Ark of the Covenant. They open up the ark and this angel and they're, ah, and then it gets up right. And that's my favorite part of that whole movie is it gets right up there and it turns from this glorious being to the angel of death. That's what traps, that's what offenses are. We feel justified, we feel vindicated in what we think and what we say. Jesus warned us, it's impossible that any offense should ever come. And if you're not offended, I praise God. But understand, you probably are and you're hiding it. Because we all get offended. You get offended at the guy in front of you at traffic. Why did you give a turn signal? It's on the left. I know I have. Hey, turn signal dude. I got offended the other night in Ontario waiting at the traffic light at, I can't remember what, it's right there by the gas stations in Ontario. You got On the Way and Duke over here, and I'm right here. Four cars back. There's a car turning left. Anybody ever been in that intersection trying to turn left on a... Why isn't there a turning lane? This car sat there and sat there. And I'm not talking about the guy turning. He couldn't turn. There was half a mile of traffic coming straight. But in the state of Ohio, according to the ORC, Ohio Revised Code, 4511.28, it is legal to go around them on the right. How many of you have been taught you can't do that? Everybody in here. Who was taught you can't make U-turns? It is legal in the state of Ohio unless it is marked. You didn't know that. You can't do it on curves or hills, but you have to be visible for 500 feet either way. Not a big deal, but we've been told you can't do it. So we get offended at somebody who does, who exercises their right. But I got upset with the guys. I was already on edge. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, go around already. I had to sit through the light twice. Because the people wouldn't go around. Why? They've been taught one thing. Anyhow, I'm off that soapbox. I actually have a message about legalism coming up. I just wanted to get that out. But I got offended over that because I was already offended. I was already reeling. I was already angry. That's what offense does to us. When we take it for somebody else, it's not my job to take it for anybody else. I can't do anything but trouble. That's all I can do. And so I'm praying. You want to pray for me? Ask the Lord to help me on that. Because even though my family comes first in that ring of offense, it goes out to my friends. My church family as well. Just shut up. Quit talking about them. It's not your right. You have one right in this world, and that is to keep silent. You know when the officer, you have the right to stay silent? Many officers today will say, and we urge you to do that. Quit talking. But we are so self-centered on self-justification. But then Jesus says, but woe. That means trouble comes to those who cause the offenses. Well, it don't look like it's coming to me. They will not get away with it. Jesus taught things. Understand, he taught everything he taught, he got because of the law as well. Because of something that was taught in there that people overlooked. The Jews got offended all the time about things. And so what ends up happening is we take that offense and we lash out at the person that brought it. Now who's the person bringing offense? You are. Nothing but trouble is going to come your way because Jesus said it. And he said every jot and tittle of the book will come to pass. So this is a truth that, whoa, troubles will come upon those who cause offenses. I'm not saying you didn't realize that you're sitting at the traffic light and not going around on the right because you did not know. Most people don't know that you can legally do that. You have to be assured of clearance. There's things you have to make sure. If you're pulling a trailer, I don't recommend you do it. It's not worth taking the chance of dragging their car down the road. But trouble's coming to them who caused the offenses. And that's why we have to forgive every day. That is why Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. And every day, and forgive us our trespasses. As I'm forgiving others, Lord, I forgive that person. I don't want to. You know I'm justified in this, right? I have a right. Listen, if I bump my head on something, I grab, that was so stupid. Why didn't I duck? I might even smack the beam. It's usually a beam I've hit my head on, crawling around in low spots. I got mad at a beam, an inanimate object. And the truth of the matter is, I should have ducked. But I got easily offended. And I lashed out at a piece of wood or a piece of steel. So trouble will come to those who are bringing offenses. And I'm talking the ones on purpose. The Bible says if your brother has offended you, and meaning he didn't know what he was doing, but if you've been told, you know what you're doing. Now, whoops, it's going to hit again. Now I urge you, brethren, this is Paul to the Romans, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned and avoid them. You are allowed to avoid the people who cause you offense. God did not say you must go to that person all the time and keep getting smacked. If you are able to be with them and not get offended, and they are an offensive person, then maybe God has anointed you. But if you are being offended by them and you keep going there, you are a sadomasochist. You're sick in the head. Paul taught the Romans to avoid them. Didn't say shun them. He just said avoid them. If you don't have to be around them, then don't. There are people that will tell lies on you. You sometimes just need to back off. Say, okay, God, especially if you were recently offended, meaning they hurt you. They knew what they were doing and they hurt you. That is spiteful. Pray for them. Pray for them, not about them, but you don't have to go give them a, just before this, Paul said, greet each other with a godly kiss. You do not have to go kiss them. That's the brethren. But he said, these people that are stirring trouble, divisive doctrines, in other words, they're talking about things they shouldn't be, avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They serve their own desires. They're only out for them. The hardest thing for us to do is not talk about each other. One of the things I'm struggling, and I'm like, why did they do that? It's none of my business. Why are they doing it that way? That seems to be a little stupid. More work than it should be. Maybe they enjoy it. But they serve their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. This is what I want to talk to you about real quick. You see, people who are offensive, and they know they're being offensive, and they are troublemakers, They will go to people who will believe every lie told to them. I don't believe anything from either side of our political government. I trust the politician as far as I can throw them. Because there's things we don't know. I don't know really what happened at Benghazi. It's top secret. Do I think we should have sent in troops? Absolutely. What happened in Somalia? They drug a U.S. Marine by his ankles down the streets in Somalia. Why isn't it a parking lot? There's things we don't know. There's things this country has done that we will never know. But there's things that this country has done that have been good. I don't know why we're the first ones to give money to those in need. Because we are a blessed nation. And that's why we're blessed. I can't help it. Politicians on both sides of the table use it as a weapon. Compassion should never be a weapon. But people who are intentionally offensive, they will tell you the flattering words. Well, you know, you're not like this, but here's what they're doing. Here's what I hear they have done. They will start getting you on their side, and they will create the offense in you, and you will be a moron because you're going to act upon your offense. We all do it. In one way or another, we don't sit down and say, there's factors I don't know. If you are the third, fourth, fifth, tenth person in the line of this information, you are way too far down. Do you have access to the horse's mouth? And then be careful. There's so many things in modern media that I really enjoy. I love cartoons. And don't say you didn't, because Bugs Bunny has been around since World War II. Popeye before that. And they all had an agenda at some point. But understand, the one with about Red Riding Hood. The new one. The frog. Can't put people away just because they're creepy.
Hoodwinked.
Hoodwinked, yes. It's an animated show, movie. I think it's good. Because what they prove in there is if something happens, you're going to have the viewpoint of the person it happened to. You're going to have the viewpoint of the person who watched it. You're going to have the viewpoint of the person who was over there. You're going to have the opinion of the person over here. Everybody has a different opinion of it, what took place. Even though we can all agree they got hit by a car. One person saw them step out. One person saw them fall. Another person just said, all I saw was red. And out of that, a detective has to figure out what really happened. But you see, we don't. We don't actually judge rightly. The first thing we need to do, as Jesus taught us about judging, is to judge ourselves, and we will not be judged. So we need to keep our judgment to ourselves. But we do need to note that's divisive behavior. That is not judgment. If somebody is going around in here and they're telling you lies, I've seen it happen time and time and time again in churches where people get in there and they start talking about each other. It's usually one person who's starting it. And they'll tell lies. Growing up, I was in church, such a church. I graduated. Didn't realize how bad some people were talking about me. Spirit-filled church, just so you know. My dad was an elder in it. And I found out later that there had been people talking about me. What kind of person I was. There wasn't one person in that church who knew me that well. Not one. But I'd had people talk about girls. Oh, we know how you are with girls. I've dated 5 girls in my entire life, and I'm married number 5. And only, see, the first one never got a second date. Second one really wasn't much of a date. Fourth one never really dated. And then the other one only one date. So exactly what did you hear that I did? I still to this day, there's some things, and I just assume not know. Because people lie. One woman told, I know, I hear how you drive. Well, I ain't going to lie. I was 17, 18, lead foot. Show me a 17 or 18-year-old that doesn't know that right pedal better than the left. But I never wrecked a car until I was 26. And that was because of black ice that came out of nowhere on an S-curve. That's the only reason I wrecked. Not saying I'm a fantastic driver, but I do believe I'm a good driver. But years later, as a youth pastor, I was the youth pastor. One of the mothers of, she had three children who were in the youth group. She said, I know about you, and if I don't go on this, my children don't go. She wanted to go to Cedar Point. I could not do that to her kids. I could not say, you can't go because your mother won't let you. I let her go. I had chaperones. And I'll be honest with you, if your kid's in the youth group, you don't need to be chaperoning it. Let your kid have a life. They're under your rule all the stinking time. Sometimes a kid needs to let their hair down and be a kid. I'm going to make sure my kids bring me honor and glory. That ain't their job. Your actions bring you honor and glory. The human being you are brings you honor and glory. But this woman said, I know about you. I've heard about you. What have you heard? Please tell me. Please tell me exactly what you've heard. Because I didn't do 99% of the things that people have accused me of doing. I had people in my barracks in Okinawa accusing me of running around with one of the sergeants. I will admit, she was a good-looking woman, especially for a Marine. We have a cadence. Said they all look like Phyllis Diller. They march like Frankenstein. That was to keep us away from them. But rumors were going around. I'm married. She's married. We did get together every Sunday. She had a Japanese driver's license and a van, and we could go to church. But that ain't what got around. People believed that lie. So I still don't know to this day what lies she believed. Unfortunately for her, out of her own mouth, I know about her past. And it was not good. It was everything she accused me of. So, point being, I didn't take offense and I was not going to hurt her kids. But sometimes people get bad information. And there's days, blessed are the peacemakers. I have to remind myself of the Beirut Memorial in Jacksonville. Great big letters across it. It says, they came in peace. We are called to be peacemakers. There is a time to fight, but that's not yet. We're called to forgive. We're called to pray for them. So the people that are offending you, they know what they're doing. There's nobody who has sat in church for more than 6 months in a real church. I'm not talking about let's get out here and have the laser show going on. Let's have the smoke show. Let's have three plays. How about we preach the word of God? How about we live the word of God? Sometimes we need to talk about sin. Why? Because if we don't, people aren't going to get free. And I'm not talking about we go back to legalism. Again, that's another message I'm going to do. But the Bible tells us to pray for these people who are intentionally using us. They're hurting us. They're talking about us. They're talking about our loved ones. And we've got to be careful not to take the offense for them. It will lead us into dark places. As I said before, that one in particular person, I had it planned out. Praise God, I didn't have to do anything. God, I listened to the Holy Spirit. Because he is in prison for 30 years for attempted murder. And you know what? We sent money to a ministry that goes into the very prison he's in so that they can preach to him Jesus. I feel for him. I really do. Because you know what? I know his upbringing. And it was awful. It was horrible. And it's all he knew how to do. He needs Jesus. And I'm not talking about somebody sitting on his lap until he gets up and says, okay, I'll pray. Sometimes we got to find the darkest night in order to reach out. I literally did. There ain't a whole lot of light on the end of a Pacific island. But we need to make sure we're not the ones running around hurt and offended because, you know, they did my loved ones wrong. I can't take your offense. Because I won't be nice. And then I'm the one who hurt you. And that would really stink. But I meant to do something good. But it didn't end good. And that's where we have to be careful. The world is going to be so easily offended at everything. They are right now. That is what has created all of these movements. Is offense. Some of them perceived. You were hurt. You were offended. They disrespected you. You know what? I was always brought up with this adage, and then I really learned it in the military. Well, military, I learned you respect the rank, period. That's it. I may not like some of my platoon sergeants, some of my officers, but I'm going to tell you right now, there was a couple of them. They had my undying loyalty. I'd go to the gates of hell and back for them because they cared about me. Those that showed they actually cared were the ones I'd follow into battle. Others, I'm not going to lie, we sat and talked and said, right there's the first casualty. Get them out of here. They're only thinking about the medals they're getting. And I know we got Vietnam guys here. They can attest to the same fact. I've talked to many Afghan and Iraqi veterans, and they will point out the exact same thing. There were officers that should never, ever have been there because all they cared about were the accolades. But if we're going to be offended because somebody dissed us, that means disrespected in slang. Just get used to it. You're not promised respect, especially with the world. They hate you, and they don't know why. You can do all the good in the world, and they'll still hate you. They won't see. I know some of you in here on Facebook, and we're friends on Facebook, but I put something on there the other day about you shouldn't be holding on to the things of the past. I can't remember what it exactly is, but like I said, I've done a lot of reading in the last couple of days since I posted it. But your past does not define your future. It doesn't define who you are today. Things happen to you. You let them go. Yeah, it formed who you are, but it doesn't control who you become. Because if I was going to let the things that happened to me in the past, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be married. My kids would hate me. A lot of people wouldn't like me. Because I would allow the things back there control my output today. Don't do the time. How is it? Don't do the crime for which you are doing the time. Stop doing the time. Don't keep, don't keep going back to these offenses. I'm telling you this from having recently gone through some things. And you can, my wife will attest. Miss Brenda asked me how my week went. I think it was, and I said, it went. And I've had to wind down. But that's why God chose me. That's why I'm here. I didn't act on anything. And you can ask my wife. I was ready to. She talked me off the ledge before I committed to any actions. Because I don't like seeing people get hurt for lies and manipulation. Jesus said, woe to them, because trouble's coming their way. And the only thing you can do is pray for them. Pray for them. Because it's going to be disastrous. And they're going to blame you for it. Anything time things go wrong ever since Sigmund Freud and all of them. Your mama did it. Your daddy. You are responsible for your own stinking actions. Start acting like an adult. There's not one child in here. Even my youngest is almost 18. And he's responsible for his own doggone actions. You are too. I'm responsible for my actions. And had I acted, I would have been severely responsible. And I don't want to be that. Because I am responsible for my actions. My Bible says to pray for them. You may not be able to pray right away. I'm going to tell you right now, I prayed in the Spirit a whole lot this week. I kept having to pray. Lord, just kept going back. I'm like, I just got to keep doing something. And, you know, I usually say, well, if you get something loud enough, it drowns. No. I put my earbuds in. And I actually cranked the volumes this time. I'm like, got to drown out those pesky thoughts. Didn't work. Getting to forgiveness did. It took me a couple days, but I got there. Well, sounds like you need to sit down from being a preacher. And I think you just need to keep your opinions to yourself. Thank you very much. When God told us we would teach as others have not taught, there's one thing he told us. We are who we are. I will tell you what I'm going through. I'm not here to deceive you that life is so perfect. If you speak it, it'll happen. No, it won't. I just learned last night. Anybody know who Milan Lefevre is? Besides me, a few of you. He passed away on the 8th. Died of cancer. He a lot of songs in the 80s. But he was a Christian. He led over 250,000 youth to the Lord. And, you know, I read the thing about it. His wife wrote up something about him on their Facebook page, and she said he kept his confession. Some of you know where I'm going with this. Well, if he kept his confession, why did he still die of cancer? I don't know. That's not for me to judge. It's not me to judge his faith, his confession, or anything else. I believe God can and will, and I don't know why he went home early. Although I found out he was a lot older than I thought. He was 78. I was like, wow. But there was a song, and it just came on my station just before that happened, before I read the news. It was called More. And it was one of the most, I want more of you, Lord. And he wrote that a long time ago. 30 plus years ago, almost 40 years ago, he wrote that song. I want more of you, Lord. And I think he wrote it while he was cleaning the trash or the toilets in his church. He was the janitor. He wrote songs and performed with lots of people you and I know, to include Elvis, Dylan, Clapton. Lots of people knew him. And but that song, it's been a few years now. We were in a church service in Texas, and I looked over and I told her, I said, "That's My Little Feffer." And I think we had actually drove down, and I had that on a CD, that song "More" was playing. And I got to thank him. Because, see, that song means so much. And I look in his life, and after reading more about his life, he had opportunities to be offended and hurt by people. People talking about him because, you know, Jesus shouldn't be singing that kind of music. Shouldn't have long hair or earrings. And yet somehow he still led 250,000 people to the Lord. Don't know why he went home. Only God knows that. And he probably knows that now when he woke up. He's like, okay, I think I got some things. Don't let offense keep you from being able to live your life blessed, because it will choke off the blessings in your life. Every time I've looked, when I've gotten hold of an offense, and even though it was some people not really realizing they had set the trap for me, they were talking about things. They were actually talking about somebody else. And I took an offense. It was a trap for me. Just because they were talking about somebody else, I fell into the trap and started judging people. Things did not go well for me for a while until we identified the problem and forgave them. And I promise you, they did not avoid the judgment. Woe to them. Because right after that, their life got turned upside down. They were faithful, and I believe they repented. Because God came through. So understand, people ain't getting away with anything causing offenses. Don't worry about it. God will bring you justice. Let's stand. Ha! You're getting out of here early. In spite of my every effort to stop it, no. And if the news is setting you off, if you feel your blood pressure going up because you're watching the news, turn it off. You're not getting the full story, and I don't care who's telling you the story. All we know, something happened. Okay. Something just happened 3 seconds ago, but we already know the narrative all the way back for 10 years. I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but when they have the news before it happens, you be careful. I'm not saying we have to be stupid. The Bible tells us to be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Be careful. You don't get all the facts. If we honestly knew all the facts of how this country came about, some of us would really be butthurt about it. A lot of stuff happened. Neighbor turned on neighbor. I mean, shoot, it might have been a neighbor called the cops on you last week. I don't know. Whatever you were doing. But pray for those. Pray for them. When you start praying for them and you ask God to forgive you for biting, He'll heal you. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you that you warned us about these offenses. Father, and that you even impressed upon the Apostle Paul to make sure that he told the Romans not to have to, they don't have to keep going back if it's at all possible, but to avoid them. And Jesus, you told us to pray for them so that they actually might find you. So Lord, right now, we do. From our hearts, Lord God, we pray for those who have offended us. Father, those who's they've actually gone after a loved one or a friend, Father, we pray right now for them. Father, we pray that they be humbled in their hearts and they'll cry out to you and they will repent of what they're doing. Father, but we put them in your hands. Father, it's in your timing. Father, in the hardness of their heart, Lord, we pray right now that through your Holy Spirit, you begin to soften it so that they may quickly see what is going on and they may repent. It means turning away from it, Father. Lord God, I thank you for these people today. Lord, I know this word is going to go out. It's going out over the internet. Father, that people will get hold of this. Father, I know many people in here who have been maliciously talked about, things maliciously done against them, and even in the last year, Father, I thank you that you're moving. You are bringing recompense into their lives, Father, as they have forgiven those who have done it. So, Father, bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen.